Good evening, folks. How are you? We're here with you again on a Friday Night Live in this cold time of year, January. And hopefully you're staying warm tonight. All right. Well, a lot of bad weather in the United States this week, this coming week, that is. Going to be a lot of some major outbreaks of winter coming up here shortly. Will you ready for that? In fact, U.S. is facing the first major outbreak of winter. Dangerously cold wind chills, record-breaking cold, 20 to 30 below zero in certain places. Yeah, wow. So while California expected to have flooding, 8 to 17 feet waves to be expected over the next couple of days there. So, yeah, we're looking at some winter weather. Well, anyway, welcome. Good to have you folks here. We're going to open up with some news here as we start out, and we're going to get into the Word of God with a good word for you tonight, and we'll do some deliverance after that. So we see here that parents are outraged in New York City because it shut down the high school to the American students so that illegals will have housing. Citizens say that cars are being stolen and stores are being robbed and people are being accosted by illegal immigrants who are, you know, begging at their front doors. It says our community, they say, cannot handle this crisis. Well, it's nice that you don't have to put your children in the high school, but if you want them in there, you're not able to because of the illegals living in there now. So they won't be programmed anyway there, but they're having their school at home, supposedly. They have to do their work at home. So anyway, that, I wonder how many more places that'll be before that's all over with. Anyway, Ohio House Republicans override the governor's veto and vote to ban gender mutilization, surgeries for children. So even the governor, who liberal and wanted to go ahead and allow that, and he vetoed a bill that was to stop it before, well, they overrid the governor. Now they're going to, you know, the governor's forced to sign that bill to ban gender mutilation surgeries. Well, that's good. Nairobi, Kenya, Catholic Archbishop Philip Nyolo rejects Pope Francis's homosexual blessings. He says, we will never accept same-sex couples, he says, in this country. We will never allow that. And never accept that. Yeah. And while here in the States, new TurboTax commercial features homosexual couple on a couch with arms around each other, filing joint taxes after buying a house together. Whoa. Kentucky, Catholic priest wears a rainbow stole as he blesses a lesbian marriage. So, look at that. Oh, WHO, you know that, the World Health Organization, was devised to control and rule over the world population. That's right. The World Health Organization was shaped to be used as their instrument for controlling and ruling over the world population, a tool of the globalist and antichrist system. Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg joined Ivan Cummins, they joined to discuss this, and Dr. Wolfgang wrote a book on the false COVID pandemic called False Pandemic, Arguments Against the Rule of Fear, which was originally written in German, but it's now also in English. So, yeah, they're exposing this WHO and all of this garbage that's going on. While the U.S. Army back here in the States struggles to recruit to get white people to enlist in the Army. Well, why would they? When according to the establishment program, whites are trash. And, you know, that's what the Army has been saying. And so one said, I'm so, you know, shocked, young white men are refusing to sign up to die for a country, a government that hates them. Well, yeah, why? Why would they? Hello? Why would they do that? Well, did you know if your new vehicles are spying on you and not private, any new car spies on you. And I'm not talking just this year. Several years back, they've been doing this, and they watch you, and they now track and record. They watch you, they monitor, they track you, they record you, according to a report released by Mozilla Foundation. Unless the vehicle, you know, was manufactured quite some time ago, it is spying on you. The foundation states that vehicles are the official worst category of products for privacy. According to Mozilla, all types of information is gathered about you, such as your purchasing history, your employment history, your music and what you listen to, your podcast, what you listen to, your habits, your immigration status, your religious and philosophical beliefs, and health information. Mozilla examined 25 different brands of vehicles, Ford, Toyota, Volkswagen, BMW, on and on the list went. Also, did you know that you're agreeing to all of this when you buy a new vehicle, when you sign for it, you know, the papers put in front of you? And VW is going to add AI this year, you know, ChatGPT, which is, you know, an AI program. They're going to add that this year to their car, all of their cars, right, for the most part. So you will be spied on, okay? All right, well, startling new report finds hormone-warping chemicals in 99% of the food sold in America's stores, which may raise the risk of cancer and autism and infertility. So all these things going on and many more we're attacking over there in Yemen this week with the British, and they're burning American, Israeli, and British flags and throwing a fit over that, right, going on right now. And and saying that it could lead to a larger regional war over there and more attacks on the United States. We are living in some strange times here in 2024, starting off with literal bang there. But anyway, God has plans for his people this year. God has plans for you. He loves you. So we need to focus on what God's doing, not just on what the devil's doing. So we're not ignorant of the devil and what he's doing, but let's focus on what Jesus is doing. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to look at things. And if you got our newsletter, we talked a little bit about 2024 and what I feel like the Lord is saying about that. We sent it out to a lot of people this week, so hopefully everybody that wanted one got one. If not, those who get it by mail, those haven't gone out yet. And if you'd like one, just let me know. Email oasis1@localnet.com, and we'll get one out to you if you didn't get one. And I had some bounce, so I'm assuming their email addresses are not good anymore, or else we did it wrong. But anyway, yeah. So I hope you enjoy it. God bless you. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another opportunity to gather here together on this live broadcast tonight of the Oasis. And Lord, I ask that you'd bless this time that we have together and speak to people's lives, Lord, and speak something that'll speak to them, Father. And thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's going to speak through me, Father. We praise you for that. Praise you for this time that we have and the opportunity that we can gather like this, Father. We appreciate it. Thank you for everything working tonight, Father. Thank you for the angel of the Lord taking care of things in Jesus' name. And we bind the enemy. We pray, Lord, for a releasing of the power of God in each of our lives this year in a mighty way, Father, that more of your presence, more of your power, Lord, more of your health and healing, Father, be released as we believe you, Lord, and trust you and exercise our God-given faith in you, Lord, to live in more of you, Lord. And we thank you that we are able to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us, Lord. We glorify your name for that as well. Appreciate your goodness. toward us and your mercy toward us. And Lord, that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We appreciate all of these good things that you give us, Lord, even in the midst of a dark time that we live in. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives and our families' lives, Father, in this time. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for saving those that are lost, Father, that there'll be a great harvest this year, Father, for your glory. Thank you for a great and mighty harvest, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing in our mind, will, and emotion, Father. That, Lord, where we've all been wounded in some way or another, Father, thank us. Thank you for healing those areas, Father, so we can move forward in your plan and purpose for our lives, Father. And I know things can change very rapidly for some people, Lord. Help people to deal with change, Father, when change takes place. Father, we pray for marriages, Father, for peace in homes, Lord, and spiritual breakthroughs, and Lord, that you would bless people's marriages, Father, this year. People be able to get along and have good marriages, Father. We pray for people's marriages. We bind the devil off of people's marriages. And, Father, for those who want to be married and are not, Father, we pray for a mate for them this year, Father, that they will meet someone that will be godly and that will love the Lord, and they'll be able to have a wife or a husband, Lord, or whatever it is that they're needing, Father, that they're seeking, and that their desire is, Lord, for marriage. Father, we pray that you'll meet that, Father, in their lives in Jesus' name. We give it a glory for that as well, Father. And now we just commit this time of in the Word here to you. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. Amen. All right. There we go, folks. Let's get into God's Word here tonight as we take our second message in 2024, letting God lead in 2024. Will you do that? Tell you, we need to be led by the Spirit like never before in our lives. We need to know what God wants, and we need to walk in what God wants. We need to live in God's grace, too. You know, I heard a particular preacher one time preach against grace. He said, we're saved by grace, but after that, we have to work. We have to do this, and we have to do that, and we have to be acceptable and pleasing to God. Well, you know, I've heard this before. It's not the first time I've heard that from preachers. You know what's wrong with it, though? A person can never do enough to please God. You know, how much do you have to do before you're able to please him? See, when you go and live that way, see, and what we do will never please God unless he does it through us, see? And if we could do it, you know, all after we were saved by grace, then God would just save us and leave us alone, because after all, we could just do it all by ourselves. We wouldn't need him, would we? But that's not what the Bible says. Without him, I could do nothing. But no, that's what he said. Without him, we could do nothing. So we're not just saved by grace, but we live by grace through faith every day of our life. Okay? And he says that law doesn't please God. Faith pleases God. The just should live by faith. See? And so, you know, this preacher was that said these things, he was wrong. He wasn't walking, speaking biblically, you know. So we need to look at what the Word says under the new covenant. So anyway, God doesn't just save us and leave us. No, thank God for that. But let me tell you about this life of living in divine grace, okay, tonight as we start out. You know, if you choose it over your works, it's an adventure, folks. It's a joy. And you'll have to lose your control over yourself and trying to control and tell God what to do. Because I think God knows what's best, don't you think? I absolutely do believe that. That God knows what's best. And we're going to have to put our lives in his hand. I want to look at somebody today in the Word that had to learn to let God direct, lead, and live his life, and how hard it was to really let go of what a person thinks is God and right. Now, who do you think we're going to look at like that tonight? Well, we're going to look at Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. verse 1. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. See, when God has to tell somebody to quit mourning, I tell you, that person been mourning long enough. Okay? He'd been mourning too long. Right? When God has to tell someone to quit mourning, a person has been in that state or condition too long. So is it healthy to mourn? Well, yeah, it's healthy to mourn only for a short time if you're mourning properly about the proper things. You mourn, and then you go on with God, and you let God heal you and minister to you about what you've mourned about. If that's something that he can do that with and something that he will do that with, then you let him do that. But many Christians, like Samuel, stuck in a mourning condition, in a mourning state, and they get used to mourning and begin to live in it and with it too continually. See? And mourning really can be relabeled as whining after a while in some cases, okay? But how many times in life have you grieved over something that didn't go your way, and before long, you stayed in it. You stayed that way. You kept thinking on it. You kept dwelling on it, you know? In fact, some of you are stuck mourning something right now. And God is saying to you, just like he said to Samuel, how long are you gonna mourn Saul? How long are you gonna mourn this situation, circumstance, or what happened to you? So why was Saul mourning Saul anyway? I mean, why was Samuel mourning Saul anyway? Well, Saul was his man. I mean, Samuel had chosen him and bred him to be the king. I mean, he was his boy, man. It was hard to accept change that Saul was not God's plan and he was not God's man anymore. And sometimes God has to do this with us because we're stuck in Saul. We're stuck in some place or some job or some situation or some way of thinking or some feeling about something or a flaw of ours or some plan that we had and we're stuck there because things are not working out. It didn't work out the way we wanted them to, and God wants to move us on. Right? And God wants to move us on, and we're stuck in Saul. And even when God deals with us, we mourn about it. We cry about it. We whine about it. We languish about it. And God is saying, how long, child? How long? I want to move you on. Let's get on with things. You know, I have a David. I have a new plan. I have a new calling. I have a new way here, a new place, a present will for you that I have for your life, a new fresh anointing, a step higher, a greater walk of faith, a next step in your life. And I'm not belittling mourning about a proper thing that we should mourn about. If we lose a loved one or we go and leave some people we love and care about or somebody moves away that we loved and cared about. And I mean, we might well mourn the loss of those people, but we don't stay there, see? And you know what? Some Christians grow to love their mourning. They get used to it. They get comfy with it. And it becomes a part of their lives. And you know what? The familiar gets exalted above God. Now, how many times do you think that has taken place in people's lives? The familiar getting exalted above God. Well, don't you think that's an open door for devils, too, to come in? I think so, when we get to that place. Yeah, and some Christians are loving it, right? But it could even become an idol that morning. You know, and when God deals with us, we make excuses to keep our mourning, our souls of life, our comfort zone Christianity, our control zone where we're comfortable, our way of doing things, our being stuck in the past, even sometimes. Let's read on. 1 Samuel 16:2, it says here, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will kill me. In other words, I can't change. I can't do this. I can't do this. How can I do this? It's got to stay the same. It's got to. I've got to keep mourning. You know, you've heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? In Italy? Well, a number of years back, you know, they discovered that the tower was very slowly beginning to lean too much. And the city controllers had an emergency meeting. What are we going to do? We can't have that. What are we going to do? So they brought in architects and professional builders who were sure that the tower did not topple over. But they told all of them, keep the tower from falling over, but don't correct the tilt. In other words, make very sure it stays just like it is. And that's where a lot of people are today. They want to stay just like it is. And most Christians are like that. In fact, we want to stay as we are. We don't want to face ourselves. We don't want changes. We don't like changes, especially when it's not, you know, at all what we are comfortable with. Right? And Samuel just wasn't.
Okay. Sorry about that. I got disconnected there. But anyway, we're continuing on here. And so Eliab, one of the sons of Jesse, Samuel said, this has to be the one to be king. In other words, all right, Lord, if I have to change, so this is the one. This has got to be the one, Lord. This has got to be the one. Well, you know, I choose this one. You know, I can live with this change. You know, this is the way we do it, Lord, okay? We'll do it this way. This will work this way, Lord, right? God may have something, again, to say about your choice, right? Look at verse 7 here. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Hey, you know, God may have something different to say about things than we have to say about things, right? Amen. He did in this situation. Oh, yeah, he may look good, big, tall, handsome, found, you know, wow, found good. Oh, that must be God. But nope. It's not me, he said. No, no, no. Wasn't me. Not me. Look at verse 10 here. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. None of them. What's going on here? He sent me here, and there isn't a one of these sons that he chose. 7 sons. None of them. Yeah, we're going to do this, Lord. We're going to serve you this way. This new plan. Yeah, we can live with this one. No, no, no. Uh-uh. See, well, when are we going to learn that if we don't go the Lord's way, it's not the right way? No matter how good it looks on the outside, how logical it may seem, how good it sounds, okay, how good it feels. Now, God's ways are not logical. It may seem, logical to us that this got to be God's choice, and we'll go off and do it, and we get ourselves in a mistaken situation, one that's not God's plan for our lives. Remember, God said his ways are higher than our ways, right? And Isaiah, keep your finger here, we'll come back, Isaiah 43:18. Let's go over there and read that. 43:18-19, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hey, God has a way when it seems like there is no way, right? And he said, my ways are higher and wiser than yours. And yet some people, they want to go with their way. And a lot of people are walking in their way today, you know? And it's really a demon road, because it isn't God's road, because they rejected God's new way and clung to the old way. Oh, I tell you, some Christian will allow themselves to be tormented for their compromise and their lack of going on with God. That's right. They love preaching that makes them feel awful and unworthy. They love preaching that makes them feel, boy, man, I am really a mess. I really needed to hear this stuff. But guess what? They never intend to change, and they won't change. They love feeling uncomfortable. But that's it. It's their comfort zone. That's what they like. They feel uncomfortable, but they don't ever do anything about that uncomfortableness. See? Their way of dealing with their control and way of living. See, they're in their comfort zone, their place of comfort. You know? That's right. Or should I say their way of misery? Because, you know, it's like the people living together who hear a message on living together and say to each other, well, wasn't that convicting? Oh, yeah, honey, we really ought to get married. Yeah. Yeah, we should, and then they go on and living together, and nothing changes. Nothing changes. Oh, yeah, they heard, they hear the word, they hear another convicting message, and they go on again, hardening each time. You know, there are a lot of Christians with hardened hearts today because they don't listen to God. They don't yield to the Holy Spirit. They don't yield to conviction. We need to yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We get convicted about something. We get convicted by the Holy Spirit for a reason, not just to stay on doing the same thing we've been doing and walking the same way we've been walking. Right? All right, let's read another one real quick. 2 Corinthians 6:2. You know, I've had people over the years in our churches that we pastored several times that they, you know, we're just living in sin, and they would get convicted, but they wouldn't do anything about it. You know, that's happened a number of times over the years with different couples, and I really can't remember the amount of times it's happened. I know it's happened at least three times, but maybe more, maybe four or five. But anyway, it's happened a lot of times. They come, and ultimately they would leave the church, you know, because, you know, we can't tolerate people just coming and living in sin because that poison was spread to others. Anyway, 2 Corinthians, they're not going to do anything about it after they've been there a while, you know, then something's wrong. You know, eventually, some people could be talked to and they will get married, but other people, they had no intention of getting married. Yeah, they're just going to continue living that way. And 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I suffered thee. But behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay? Now, today, is your day of deliverance. Deliverance from mourning, from your comfort zone Christianity, from being stuck in your pain, you know, your level of misery, perhaps. Now faith is. You know, God is in the business of leading and putting people where and how he wants them now. Do you think he will do it for you? Of course he's going to do it for you. He loves you. He's going to do it for you if you will let him do it for you. A lot of people won't let God do what he wants to do, see? So don't fight God. There's a lot of people that are fighting God. Don't be like the Christians who allow themselves to be miserable to a point, or convicted to a point, but then don't you dare cross that line. Don't you dare come across my comfort zone area. Because I really don't want to change. I really don't want to make a new commitment. I really don't want to walk by faith. I really don't want to let go of that mourning spirit. See, what God has for you, you know, may not and probably won't be what you expected, because it's better and higher than the best you do expect. Right? In fact, David was not what Samuel, a seasoned Christian, would have chosen. No, he would have chosen either. But he finally obeyed God and did what God wanted, because Samuel had a heart for God. And he did what he was supposed to do, finally. He quit mourning, and he went off and anointed David. And David didn't look like God's best. He didn't look like God's will. But you know what? So what? It's what God chose. See? And he may have said, oh, but I want Saul, my former, you know, I want my former mate. I want my loved one. I want this. I want that back. You know? People do. They mourn. And there's nothing wrong with mourning for a season if it's a proper mourning. But again, if you're mourning something that after a time, you know, it's the time to move on. You know, and some things you shouldn't mourn at all. You just need to move on and die. But, you know, anyway, how about you? Are you mourning today? Is God saying, how long will you mourn? Are you holding on to your way, your desire, your pain, your hurt, your rejection, your place, your refusing, you know, God? And is it time to obey? Is it time to let go? Is it time to follow and not lead? You know, trying to lead God around with, instead you need to let God lead. Is it time that we let God lead? Is it, I mean, how long will you stay in this condition? How long will you mourn Saul? Is what God says to Samuel. And yeah, the Lord is very patient. How many know the Lord is patient? He is very patient. He's patient with you. He's patient with me. You know, I'm amazed at the patience of the Lord. You know, if I were God, you know, look at the world. If it were me, I would have already come back and put an end to this sick and evil and dark world full of evil and darkness. But you know what? God is not willing that any should perish. He loves the human race. He loves humanity. And he wants all to have an opportunity to come to him. He is so patient with his own, too. My, if you're a child of God, you belong to God. How much has the Lord been patient with you? How long has he let you mourn something? How long has he let you carry on in a direction and just waiting for you to realize it's not the way? And he has something better than that for you. You know, he's patient with us. But he doesn't want us to miss out on his best for us and to suffer with a bunch of demons and demon trouble that which most Christians are doing right now. And some, because of being in a mourning condition, something happened, something didn't go the way they wanted, or something or someone was taken from them, an opportunity lost and a wrong decision, the wrong place to live. If we mourn too long, a demon could come in and we'll get stuck and we'll fail to move with the cloud, with the moving of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that there was a cloud that led Israel by night. That cloud was air conditioning. It kept them cool during the day, and they had a fire by night as a furnace to keep them warm out there in that desert, wandering in the wilderness. And so what if they'd have quit going with the cloud and the fire? See, a lot of Christians don't move with the cloud and fire. You know, they're stuck somewhere out in the wilderness in a mourning condition or in some other condition, a rebellious condition, a sinful condition, whatever it may be. And God has repeatedly tried to get us to move on, tried to get us to leave that behind and move on with him. And they just refuse to do that. Now, how many are in that condition today? Many are, okay? Many are. I've met so many that are in that condition. Okay? Yeah. So, what are we going to do, Steve? When Israel quit moving with God, they got in a mess. They served idols and other gods and foreign gods and false gods, which are all devils. And cricket can end up serving devils too, you know. It's like we talked about last week, don't eat at the table of the devils and the table of the Lord. You can't be doing that. You quit eating at the table of devils, right? So this is what happened to Israel. They began eating at the tables of devils. And so these idols, these false gods, these pagan heathen gods. And so, yeah, we need to pray, to be sensitive, to be sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit, to the movement of God, to what he wants for our lives, so that we won't be hardened by demons. And to see, how many in a hardened condition today in the church today? How many have got a hardened heart? You know, because of various things that have happened to them in their life, and they let them eat away on them, they let these things that happened to them hurt them and be a mourning situation even, a painful situation. Yeah, we all gone through painful situations in this life. But some Christians will not move ahead. And we need to stay pliable in the hands of the Master. We need to be able to be formed into his image and his likeness, even no matter what our age is, and whether we've been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, or 20, or 40, or whatever. So they're stuck, and they've been stuck for years. You know, I visited with someone recently, and they're still where they were many years ago. Very little change has been. I saw very little any change. And you too might see this. You see and visit with someone you haven't seen in a while, a year or 2 years, and you say to yourself, wow, they haven't changed at all. This is what they were saying and acting like 10 years ago. This is the same thing that they were talking about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. You think demons are not involved in this, folks? Yes, of course they are. Demons don't want you to change. Demons don't want you to move forward in God. Demons want to sabotage your life. And that's what they want to do. They want to keep you in a condition that is not progressive in God, not moving forward. See, deliverance is progressive, and our walk with God is progressive. See? Many are living in unbelief today because, you know, they've been stuck. They have been stuck. Perhaps mourning something, you know, was the first step to unbelief, to the hardening, right? Something happened. They were not healed. They were not promoted as they expected. There was marriage problems in their family. There was a divorce. There was problems with their children. They grew up and didn't serve God. I mean, there was a loss. Don't let the devil get your goat. Don't let him get your joy, in other words. Don't let him get to you. Time to move forward, folks. This is a new year. And a new year can be a new beginning. It can be, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. For many, it's not. Okay? Well, they may make a new year's resolution, but they don't keep it more than a few weeks, a month at the most. See? So you know, yeah, you can say things, but no. But only God can make lasting change in our life. Only God can deliver us from the problems in our life. So believe again in the Word. Stand on the Word of God. Start expecting God to show up again. Yeah, 2024 is going to be an exciting year, folks. It could be an adventure for you. I mean, it's time to be excited. Yeah, I know Christians, you know, that will face a lot of things this year. I know that there's going to be a lot of difficulties this year. And I look at a lot of Christians today, and I see that they lack joy and excitement. But let that no longer be you. Why? Because salvation is an adventure, an experience, it's progressive. How many of you thought of your salvation as a one-time event? Well, I got saved. Bless God, I'm saved now. This is it. We're done. Hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. I'm saved. Well, no. How many of you, 20 years ago, I experienced salvation. 10 years ago, I was born again. 5 years ago, salvation is not a one-time event. It's a threefold event. Why is that? Well, so that your joy should be full. And because God often thinks and does things in threes, I'm telling you, in the days ahead, God is not only going to rock the boat of many people's theology, he's going to sink that boat. And a lot of boats need to be sunk, and they need to get out there on the water, walking on water, man. I'm telling you. Because they're already in a sinking boat because they're not walking the way God has for them. They're trying to walk in a religious bondage. They're trying to walk in their way of seeing things. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake, forgive I it in the person of Christ. I was the wrong verse. It's 1:10. Okay, let's get the right verse here. That's a good verse and all. Who believed us, who delivered us from so great a death and thus delivered, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver. See, we see three there. God works in three, the 3 days past, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We're body, soul, and spirit. He made us in his image, three parts. And so, here's the threefold nature of our salvation. Salvation also means deliverance. Right? That's what the word salvation means. He has delivered us. He does deliver us. And he will yet deliver you. Right? So we see that all three right there. So we can wake up to true salvation. It's not a sole one-time event. It's still happening right now, right? Yeah. I mean, it just continues, right? We need to be an in-time overcomer of the day we're living in. An overcomer is one who comes over something. Come over what? You know, the religious system that has fed you. You need to come over that stuff. You need to get over that stuff. You need to come on past that stuff. You need to come over your pride. You need to be an overcomer over your pride and your arrogance. You need to overcome your hurt, your pain, that how people have wounded you and hurt you, and you just walk around wounded and licking your wounds still. It's time to move past that. It's time to overcome that. Come over your pain. Come over your hurt. Come over your longing to build a reputation for your name. Come over your rejection. Well, they rejected me. I guess I just wasn't good enough for them. I guess I just wasn't, what I should be. Come over your demons that have been setting sins in your life. Realize there's no one experience in this walk that does it all for you. See, you're saved and you go into heaven. But there's more to your salvation than just one experience when your spirit got born again, however long ago that was. Salvation has a progressive quality. See? That's just another way of saying that God is doing something in your life right now. You believe that? I believe that, see. I believe God's doing something in your life right now. I know he's doing something in my life right now. See, there's something fresh and vibrant and living and alive going on in us today right now because the Holy Spirit is alive. Right? But you've heard of discovered the Ark of the Covenant and found that the blood drifted from the cross. The cross was right over the Ark of the Covenant, and the blood dripped down through the ground when there was the earthquake and dripped on the mercy seat there. Well, we got a sample of that dried up blood that he found there. And he was, by the way, the only one who could get in there to see the Ark of the Covenant, because eight other men went in there and they all died. So the Israeli government just let him in there. But he didn't die when he went in there. He was a man of God. And so, anyway, he got some of this blood, this old blood from the cross that dripped down there, and he took it to some Israeli, some scientists and chemists, physicists, whatever they were, that examined it, and they examined it and found out, yeah, this is old, and they looked at blood before, and blood stains and different stains of blood, and the blood was always dead, but they examined this blood, and it was the first time they found a blood that was still alive. It's the blood of Jesus. Is alive, folks. It's powerful and living. And Mr. Don White, I think it was, I forgot his first name. But anyway, he told them, that's your Messiah's blood. That's your Savior's blood. That's your Messiah's blood. And these people were all, the people that examined it couldn't believe it. They'd never found living blood at all before. They never found any blood that was alive. But this blood was alive. And the blood of Jesus is alive in us. It cleans us. And that's why he said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my body, you have no part of me. Because we're partaking of that which is living, that which is alive. Yeah, I've come that you might have life. See? Because we've been infused with his life. Hallelujah. See, if salvation, deliverance was just back then, what's happening today? But not what salvation was then, but it's now, and it's also to be. You see it? The threefold nature of our salvation, the threefold nature of our deliverance. So God wants a happy people as well. What is a happy people? Well, happy people, you're just all giddy and laughing all the time. But look at it says in Psalm 144. Let's go over there. Psalm 144. Happy people is someone that, after they've been beaten And at the midnight hour, they're in there after being beaten for their faith in Christ. They're singing praises and glory to God. Paul and Silas in prison. So what does it say here? Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy is that people. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Okay? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yeah, well, why are some people of God people not very happy? Well, they have other gods, idols, such as people, desires, and things, and even mourning before God. Right? Their hurts, their rejections, their pain, all of these different things that they put before God. They're not happy. But the joy of the Lord is supposed to be your strength. And so many claim that the joy of the Lord is in their hearts, yet. But they have yet to notify their faith about that. They're some of the worst, miserable-looking people on the face of earth sometimes. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the heart is the connecting between your soul and your spirit. And that's why you can have some things in your heart that are not right, but you can't have things in your spirit that are not right, because your spirit is born again. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, and he's not going to live with that stuff. You live with it. He is going to live with it. Please. And if there's joy and happiness and gladness in our heart, then it surely must spill over and be visible. Because the eyes are the windows of the soul. We look upon, the eyes and the face of people, and we notice, Yeah. Visible. God should be visible in a Christian. Unless your kingdom of God is future or past only. Yeah, I'm saved. I'll go to heaven when I die. Yeah, I got saved 10 years ago. Yeah, I got saved 20 years ago. Yeah, I'm saved. But no, I'm saved, I'm being saved, and shall be saved. You see it? See, the kingdom of God is not for another time or for another people. It's for you, and it's for me, and it's for now. See? It's for now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know that? Amen. Amen. Let's look at another scripture. Go to Job. And we're going to look at Job 5:17. Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Another reason God's people are unhappy, they won't let God correct them. They don't have any correction in their life. They're just a rebel. They live a life unto themselves, their way, my way or the highway, right? They're just doing things their way. They won't take any kind of correction from the Holy Spirit. They won't let the Holy Spirit speak into their life. And the Bible says, even without correction, is a bastard, the fatherless Yahweh. In Hebrews, right? So we're not going to be without correction. Come on, folks. We need to be correct. We need to let God bring correction into our life. We need to let him speak into our life. Listen, he's our father, folks. And maybe you rebelled against your earthly father, but this is our heavenly father. If you're rebelling against him, then no wonder that, the walk is pretty tough for you. And you're an unhappy Christian because you refuse to take his divine correction and instruction. Luke 12:48. Let's read another one here. Luke 12:48. It says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask for more." Okay? Excuse me. You've been given much, so let him correct you. It'll be a peace, it'll be a joy, it'll be something special to your life. Much of the church world today is selfish. They're self-focused all about themselves. The proof is the popular widespread escapism and balance that has become a sacred cow to so many Christians today. Well, we're going to get raptured out of here any minute now. It's going to happen any time now. We aren't going to have to go through any bad stuff. Nothing bad is going to happen to us. We're getting out of here. And yet that sacred cow keeps one living again in a future event, not the present where faith lives. This is escapism. That widespread doctrine of the pre-trib, any moment, secret rapture, of getting out of here any minute now. No, you're not. Jesus isn't coming right now. Jesus isn't coming today. Jesus isn't coming tomorrow. He's not coming next week. No, a lot of things yet are going to happen before Jesus comes. You're believing a false doctrine that started in the 1800s. Even Margaret MacDonald brought in, and she used to levitate stuff. Come on, you want to get that? And then Darby took it, he ran with it, and then Cofield, and they just started pushing it. See, any moment, rapture doctrine, and Tim LaHaye, and the other guy wrote these books on it. I told the other guy named recently, Jenkins, wrote these books on the rapture and all this. And people believe it, man. They think that this is all Bible, but it's not even in the Bible. You cannot prove the rapture out of the Bible. You can twist some scriptures and try to make it say that, but it does not say there's going to be a pre-trib rapture. It says he's coming at the last trumpet, not in some secret little deal, while everybody goes up to heaven for this big party while the earth is going through tribulation and Christians are dying right and left, and you're up there partying and having this big party with God. That's not how it's going to happen. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so that sacred cow keeps a person bound up, really, because I'm not going to have to go through this. I'm not going to be here. Okay, well, here's a word for us from God for the 21st century Christian. So that we'll walk in God's joy and happiness that he has for us. And again, it may not be walking around giddy all the time. We all go through stuff and face stuff. But let's go over to the book of Ruth today. To the book of Ruth. I'm not one that you probably go to very often, right? But let's go over there and read Ruth 2:9. I'm turning. Takes a while to go there, but I'm getting there here. Just a minute. Ruth 2:9. Okay, here we go. Let's read it. Let thine eyes be on the field that do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So what is the thing that we're seeing here? Talking to the woman. Who's the woman? Who's the woman representing the Bible? The church. And he's talking to the woman, the church. He said, let your eyes be on the field. The field is the world. And it's the people of this world that is ripe for the harvest. For the harvest. This is our last chance to harvest it before the Lord comes back. See, we're living in the latter days. And we need to get a vision outside of ourselves for the lost and the unpotted. And don't be satisfied until sinners are getting saved. See, the fields are ripe for the harvest. Go out there and glean. Go out there and pick it. But also go drink and be filled. Go drink and be filled. He said, those that are thirsty, drink. See, notice he's always there. Go drink too. Go to the field, but also go drink. You know what it is to drink? Well, we need to know what it is to drink. We need to know what it is to feed upon God and his word daily. We need to know what it means. A lot of people don't even have a clue what that means. They don't feed on God daily. They may not even feed on God weekly. As far as personal time of feeding on God, they may go hear a sermon and may go to church, but what about the personal time? Are you drinking in private with God? Drinking will mature and develop you. Those that are hunger and thirst shall be filled, see? It's time to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in truth. See? So realize, listen, we've been birthed of his nature, and that nature is working in us right now. It's not a future or past event only. It is a now event as well. See? Look at Colossians. Let's run over to Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Okay, here we are, Colossians 1, 23, 27. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what we have, Christ in you. Now, that's right, now, which is Christ in you, now the hope of glory. So salvation and deliverance is an experience that is progressive. So many believers are not maturing or developing today in Christ because of a way of thinking, a wrong way of thinking about salvation. They've not learned that salvation has happened to them and is happening to them and shall yet happen to them, see? Salvation has happened, it is happening in them, and shall yet happen in them. See, it's a continuous, ongoing, threefold thing that is taking place in their lives. Hallelujah. In your life, in my life. Hallelujah. Let it take place. Enjoy it. Enjoy the work of God in your life right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't cut off a move of God in your life because of a stupid, demonically rooted teaching. Don't be a thumb and commit spiritual suicide. Don't stay stuck, you know, in religion. You know, a lot of people are stuck in religion today. They're not going to move past that. And don't stay stuck in some other area. When God says, move, move. See, if you examine truth by the word, it's going to become stronger. If you examine tradition by the word, it will fall apart. Remember, Jesus said your tradition has made the word of God of no effect there. Because, listen, it doesn't work with your tradition. It has to work with the power of God. It's got to work with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's got to work with the tradition of man, a tradition of a religion, a tradition of a demon, something that he created, the devil did, something that he caused. So what would you have? Traditional stuff? To live by or the truth. You know, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We not to base our lives on tradition, but on truth. How many know the truth of God is like the blood of God? It's alive. God's truth is living. It's like that blood was still alive. The blood, the truth is still alive. Tradition, oh yeah, and religion, that keeps people unhappy and under the gun, under the yoke of bondage. Truth sets people free to become everything that God says they can be in him if they want to be that. If they want to go forward with God, they will go forward with God. Isn't it time that you blossom and walk in the joy of your salvation? 2024 will hold a lot of unique challenges indeed. But if God be for us, I want to tell you, who can prevail against us, right? If God be for you, yeah, there's going to be troubles in this year. There's going to be a lot of things that happen that are negative, that are dark, and that the devil is trying to exalt himself in the earth and bring to pass his global government and all the evil that he wants to bring to pass and control the earth with. He's going to try. He's going to keep trying to bring himself to pass. But how many know God won't be outdone? Jesus is still on the throne, folks. I'll fear what the devil does. He's not going to outdo God. He's not going to overcome God. We overcome the devil. See, for the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, did he do it or not? Yes, he did, see. The works of the devil, he destroyed the works of the devil. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And he accomplished what he was manifested to do. And we need to live in his victory. Amen. Not live in the devil's defeat. For our lives, the spirit killing and destroying the deep for our lives, but living the victory of God that he won on the cross 2,000 years ago. See? Amen. So, yeah, let's go to another scripture, 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18 here. 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. It said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Yeah, and the devil, you know, he walked about as a roaring lion, and Paul said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know he's going to preserve you too until his heavenly kingdom. Not only is he going to preserve Paul, he did preserve Paul, and he's going to preserve you, and he's going to preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Hey, we shall overcome, and we shall come over much, okay? If we have our salvation perspective correct, right, that we are overcomers. And as we begin this new year, we live by faith, we do warfare, we cast out demons, and especially let his love be the forefront of our life, because love is the principal thing. Right? Love outlasts everything. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide. But love is the principle. So let's walk in love, folks. Let's let the love of God be shed abroad in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an adventure. This walk we have with God, this, you need to look at it as an adventure, too. It's not a drag. It's not, oh, it's just a drag to get up this morning and be a Christian another day. What? Then don't be one. Go out there and give up yourself if you hate it that much. If you're that miserable with being a Christian, then why are you being one? Right? Why did you become one? Well, I thought it would just be easy. And, well, God said in this world you should suffer persecution. Persecution is... is the devil doing whatever he does against us through temptations in our minds and through other people? But, yeah, but we overcome the devil. We resist the devil. What will he do? That's right. Yeah, some things are going to be very tough and challenging, but through Jesus, you're going to make it, and through him, you will keep changing. See? Just stay full. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Keep getting filled up to overflowing. See, the danger is letting the circumstances of this life and this world have you and take you under its control. See, circumstances. Devils are in circumstances. I want you to know that. Devils are in circumstances. And a lot of the circumstances that you face in your life are full of devils. And the devil's brought them into the... to be in your life to mess with you and to mess you up if you let that take place. You need to realize the devils are in the circumstances of life. He realizes that you rebuke them. You rebuke them in Jesus' name. And say, you're not going to run my life circumstances. I rebuke you circumstances. I rebuke you from taking over and controlling my life. No, Jesus is in control of my life. You're not in control of my life. See? Who are you going to let control? You're going to let the devil, the circumstance, control your life in 2024? You're going to let the demon use circumstances and life on earth to poison you and steal your joy? Right? If they can get away with it and steal your faith, you're going to get them to give up their salvation? Really? You're going to let circumstance devil do that? Devil use circumstances, folks. No one has everything go just the way they want it to go. But you need to realize this, that the devil used circumstances and rebuke them. Amen? Rebuke them in Jesus' name. Do warfare against these circumstantial devils. Amen? And not put up with that. Yeah. How many are close to that because you're mad at God, maybe? Yeah, close to giving up. Close to just, you're just tired, you're weary, whatever. Let the devil steal your joy, steal from you, rob you of your God-given faith. I'm not close to that today because maybe you're blaming God or saying, why did you let this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Why did this take place in my life? Why did I have to experience this? Why did I have to go through this? Why did you let this happen to me? God, stop that. stop asking why. He usually won't get an answer, right? He wants you to just keep on trusting him and resisting the devil. See? Remember, resist the devil and he's going to just hang around? No, he says he will flee. If you continue resisting, however long it takes, he's going to flee. And the Bible also says give no place to the devil. Give no place to demons. It's not only do you resist the devil and you flee, you give no place to his demons and devils, or they will move in and build a stronghold in your life. How many strongholds were built in Christian life because they didn't resist? They didn't give, you know, they didn't not give place to the devil. They just gave place to the devil instead. And you could get an attitude going, and that attitude will open up a door to the devil to move in and build a stronghold. A lot of people have attitudes in their lives that are just nothing but open doors for demons. Because, you know, you cop an attitude of some kind, you get an attitude going. It's not a God. It's not rejoicing in God. That's not praising God. Remember, the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice in him. That's not rejoicing. You get this attitude going of just, well, you're mad. You're blaming God. You're disappointed in God. You're disappointed that this didn't happen. Didn't get healed. Didn't work out the way you was hoping it would work out. And did get fixed the way you was hoping to get fixed. And maybe your marriage is a mess and it's not going the way you want it. So then blame God. Blame why, God? Why did you fix my marriage? Why don't things work out in this marriage? Well, I know that because the devil's attack on marriage, and the Bible says that if you marry, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. I don't know any marriage that doesn't have some trouble in the flesh, some trouble that they deal with, trying to get along and work together in life and live through life. It's the two closest the closest relationship a person usually will have with their spouse. At least that's the way it should be. I mean, but some people, they're not close at all. They're suffering in their marriage. They're not close to each other. They don't enjoy being with each other that much. And it's just a special thing for some of them. And that's not what marriage is. It's just not, that's part of marriage, but it's not just about sex. I mean, it's about a relationship of two people that God's joined together and letting him do a work of grace in their lives. And some people are angry at God because of the way their marriage is. And some of you, you know, may be mad at God because your marriage didn't work out or not working out, and you and your husband are not, or your wife are not on the same page. And things are, you know, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, isn't it a time that you start agreeing? You're going to, maybe you're just not walking together because there's no agreement. But the Bible says that two or three can agree in touching anything that he done for them. And it also says that, you know, that that a threefold cord is not easily broken. That's when you join your marriage to the Lord, you and your spouse join yourself to the Lord, that threefold cord is not easily broken. The enemy's going to try to break it, but it's not going to be broken. He's going to try to break you up. He's going to try to mess up your life and make you miserable. He's going to try. That's what he does. He'll kill to destroy. You know his nature. You know he wants to get in there and mess it all up. But you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to get in no place here. This is God's marriage. This is God's home. I consecrate this home to the Lord. Yeah, will it always be easy? Well, what do you think? Of course not. Will it always be easy to be a Christian? Will it always be easy to be married? No, it's not. There's battles in this life that you're going to face them. And you have to realize where it's coming from. It's not coming from Jesus. Jesus is not tempting you. Jesus is not causing the bad things to happen. They come from the devil. That's where they come from. And you get your perspective right, then you can get your warfare right. And a lot of Christians don't do any warfare because they don't have a right perspective of things. They say, well, this must have been God's will. Must have been God's will. I got this disease. It must be God's will. I got this cancer. It must be God's will. My marriage falls apart. He must be getting glory out of all my troubles that I'm going through. That's all a lie of the devil. He wants you to believe that garbage. That's the way the devil wants you to believe. Well, this sickness is just for God's glory. He must have just put it on me so he gets lots of glory. Well, why did he go around healing all the sick and casting devils out of people when he was walking the face of the earth? Why didn't he just walk around and lay a hand on everybody to make them all sick and full of devils? Why did he do that? If that's God's will. Well, that's absurd, because it's not God's will. If he says, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee, why would he be the Lord thy God that maketh thee sick? That doesn't even make sense. If you're sick, it came from the wicked one. It didn't come from God. God's not going around putting sickness and disease on his people. He doesn't do that. Well, he's punishing me because I got in sin. Well, you might have got in sin, but God didn't put no sickness on you because of it. You might have got the devil's territory, and the devil had the right to put something on you, and he attacked you with some kind of sickness. He attacked you with some kind of mess because you got over in the devil's territory. You got over in fear. You got over in the place of depending on the world system to dictate to you how your life should be, when you need to take the word of God to let that dictate how your life should be instead of the world. Why would you want to go to the world to find out how your life should be? Why would you go get educated by the world and get all their woke training and all their ridiculous lies and deception that totally go the opposite direction of the word of God for training? If you go there, you're in the devil's territory. He's going to get on you, and he's going to deceive you, and he's going to lead you astray. See? That's why you need to keep in the word and God's training. And the word of God is God's training. That's where you're going to get the life. That's where you're going to get the overcoming ability and grace to be victorious in life. And yeah. So some of you have quit rejoicing in the Lord. Some of you are not resisting strong enough. And now you've got devils moving in on you. And some of that devil's building that stronghold in your life, see? You don't resist. You don't do warfare, see? See, the average Christian is not trained to do effective spiritual warfare. They're just not trained that way. They're not trained to deal with demons all the time, because you have to deal with them, and they're going to deal with you. They're going to deal damage on you, right? They'll deal out some damage on your life. If you don't deal with them, if you don't resist the devil, if you don't anoint your home with oil, if you don't consecrate it to God, if you don't take possession of the things that God has put in your hand, amen. And cover them with the blood of Jesus. Cover your home. Cover your family. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. I use the blood all the time. See, I'm a priest, and I can use the blood. You're a priest. We're New Testament priests. We can handle the blood. We're kings and priests. We have authority of the king. Where the word of the king is, there is power. That's in Ecclesiastes. Right? And we're kings and priests. So where the word of a king is, there is power. And we're kings and we're priests, and priests handle the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. How much power do you think is in that living blood? I mean, it doesn't die. The life is in the blood. That's why, the apostles told the New Testament church that we're not going to put any of these, all these laws on you. Just abstain from fornication, abstain from eating blood. Don't eat any blood. Don't eat your steaks rare. Don't eat blood, because the life is in the blood. See? But what are you doing? If you do, I mean, that's what he told New Testament believers not to do, to eat blood, drink blood. Only God's blood will you partake of. That was so important. But he told that to the New Covenant Christians, the New Testament believers, when they got saved. When they have put all these laws and all this bondage on you, where the word of a king is, there is power. That's Ecclesiastes 8:4. And who may send him, what doest thou? Okay? So, yeah, we walk as a king, we walk as a priest. So, I don't want the devil to keep get your rejoicing, because the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. Some of you don't have the high praise in your lips anymore. I know life can come with some tough attacks, okay? Life can come with a lot of attacks. There are attacks in this life. And yet God said rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said you have the high praise of the God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. So, Lots of believers have quit rejoicing. The high praise is no longer in their mouth. It's a two-edged sword. Where is that? They don't even know what's in there. They don't read it. And a lot of people, weariness has set in. That too is a demon. Makes you weary and wear out the saints of God in the last day. There's a spirit sent to wear you out. There's a spirit of weariness sent trying to wear you out. Wear you out. I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like talking to God today. I'm just going to nod out on the TV screen. Really? Oh, I just can't deal with this. I'm going to go get a case of beer. I can't deal with this. I'm going to smoke some weed. It's legal in my state anyway, so if it's legal, I might as well do it. But you're ignorant. You're ignorant. You're opening the door to demons. Why would you do that? You just fallen into the trap that he laid for you. He set you up, and you fell into it. You just fallen into temptation. Huh? This is spirit. This is how they operate. Oh, tiredness. It's just too much for me. I can't take it. I'm tired of this. Tired of all this trouble. Tired of all this marriage trouble. I'm tired of all this this family problems. I'm tired of the trouble at work. I'm just too tired. Tiredness is a spirit, folks. Tiredness is a spirit. Yeah. It is. See, so many say that you place their spirit. You recognize what they are, that you can deal with them in the proper manner. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. You have the authority. See? You're a saint of God. You're a child of the living God. You are royalty in the kingdom. Kings and priests, joined there with Christ. Whatever he has is yours. If you're going to win this year, you've got to do yourself correctly. And you've got to walk in the way that he has you to walk. I know the enemy throws stuff your way. He throws stuff my way. We can all face it. But see, hey, Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yeah, and if he's overcome the world, then we overcome the world because we're in Christ right now. See? We need to rise up and live in another realm, see? The realm of God, the realm of God. See, and praise will put you in that realm. Rejoice in the Lord always will put you in that realm. Faith will put you in that realm. See? And we rule and reign through Christ. We rule and reign from the place where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And we're seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. Jesus at the right hand of Jesus. We are seated there spiritually in heavenly places and we rule and reign in Christ. See? Because he gave us authority. And we're to walk in our authority. You know, don't scoff at your authority and not use it because you don't think you're worthy. Well, that's you. The devil's got you right where he wants you. See, that's the spirit of unworthiness. Got you right where he wants you. You think you're unworthy. And he wants you to think that way. He wants you to believe that way. He wants you to focus on your unworthiness, how much of a horrible, unworthy individual you are. Come on. Recognize the source, thanks. So many things people don't recognize the source. Everything has a source. Everything you face in life has a source. And if you can't see God in that source, then he's not there, then it's the devil. Right? And you know that you can do something. You can rebuke that devil. Hell, the devil met Jesus in the wilderness. He came and gave it all he had. And the Bible says then the devil left for a season. Yeah, because he was defeated. And the devil will leave you for a season. He won't stay there all the time. You can rebuke him, rebuke him. He'll be back. Of course he'll be back, but he doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. But you can whip him. You can defeat him. You have the authority to do that. See? Come on. You've been born again. You're a mighty man or woman of God. Start living that way. Amen. Jesus faced it all. How do they know that Jesus faced every temptation? He is tempted in all points as we are, and yet he overcame. He went over them and overcame them. Paul said, I've kept the faith at the end of his life. He's kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith, and there's a crown laid up for me. That, you know, there's a place for you, too. No, you can keep the faith. You can, at the end of your life, hallelujah, I have kept the faith. I have rejoiced in the Lord always. I have kept the faith. I'm an overcomer. I can do this. I have done it through Christ. Amen. What is your legacy going to be? You gave up? You quit? Or you fought the good fight? You kept the faith to the end. And by God's grace and truth and His word, strong in your life. We're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's not your might. Quit depending on yourself. Quit depending so much on yourself. That's one of the biggest problems with Christians. They depend on their own self, their own strength, and they can't make it. You can't make it that way. Without Him, I can do nothing. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. See? By the power of His might, I rule and reign in Christ. Right now, on this earth. Through Christ. Amen? Quit trying to do it on your own strength. Quit trying to make it on your own strength. Just give it to Jesus, folks. Give it to Jesus and keep it giving it to Jesus. However, many times you have to tell Jesus has it and you don't. Yeah, these cares of life, the troubles of life, the weariness, whatever you're mourning about, whatever you've been crying about lately, whatever's been bugging you lately, give it to Jesus, man. You can't handle it. You can't fix it. You can give it to Him, though. You know, you don't have to bear it. You don't have to carry the load. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So you just quit carrying that heavy, heavy load, that heavy, heavy burden on the back all the time. It's not time for that. It's time to walk ahead and die. It's time to move. It's time to go forward. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Is He the Lord of your life? Is your God really the Lord? Or is He just, well, He's my God. I'm raising Him, but no, He's not Lord. No, I'm doing things my way, you know. I'm doing things the way I want. Well, really, you're doing things the way you want. But what's that going to do for you? What's it done for you in the past? Probably got you into a lot of messes, right? Yeah, right. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Say, is your God the Lord or not? If He's not the Lord, then you're in charge. But if He's Lord, that's Psalm 144, remember? We read that earlier. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Is He Lord or is He not Lord? Are you being the Lord in your life? 144:15. The Psalm. See, let Him be lower. In 2024, let Him be lower, right? My God is Lord of my life. You know, I'm not Lord of my life. My God is Lord of my life. Amen? Amen. That's the way to overcome, folks. Oh, you're in control. How's it going to work out for you? Yeah. But Jesus, we just give it to you right now. Just give it to Him. I don't know what it is, but you know. You know what you've been struggling with. You know what you've been dealing with. You know what you're facing. You know what the enemy used to get you. Well, give it to Jesus. I give this to you, the circumstances, the devils. I rebuke them, and I give all this stuff to you, all that I'm facing, all that they're going through. Lord, I give it up to you. Lord, I cast it on you. I leave it with you tonight. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be troubled about it. I'm not going to let the devil torment me with it anymore. Give it to you. I give it to you. I give this person to you. I give my wife to you, my husband to you. I give my family member to you. Give them to Jesus. Quit bearing the burdens around with you all the time and being beat down. The devil wants you beat down. Who do you think wants you beat down? God's not beating you down, but your circumstance devils are beating you down. The circumstances of life, what happens in life, see? What the devil causes, he uses to beat you down. He uses to beat you up and tear you up and trouble you and cause you to be, you know, majorly controlled by those things that have happened to you in life. See? And therefore, who's really controlling your life? If He does all those things to you and now He's controlling you by what He's done in your life and done to your life and troubled your life with, then who's really controlling your life? Is God controlling your life or are you letting the devil have control? All those things that worry you all the time, trouble you all the time, bother you all the time, cause you to mourn all the time, be weary all the time. Who's really controlling them all? You've got to give it up. You got to rebuke the devil, give these things to Jesus, and quit carrying the load. You're not designed to carry the load, right? Jesus has said, I'll carry the load, not you. Cast every care on me, so I care for you. Don't you carry that stuff around. Anyway, I got to stop here. And we're going to do some deliverance tonight. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord, and we give everything to you that the devil has done to us. We cast it all on you, Father. And we overcome it. We rebuke the devil in Jesus' name and all of those things that he's done. We rebuke it for the one of us. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and we give back what the devil stole from us. We claim it back in Jesus' name. And we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that we are in time overcomers, that we will overcome and go over those things that the enemy has placed in our way, those obstacles, those difficulties, we overcome. And overcome means to go over them, to get over them, to go over that, come over that. And we are coming over that and moving on in you, Father, by the grace and mercies of God. And we thank you, Lord, for those grace and that mercy every day, Father. We thank you that mercy of the Lord are new every morning. They're faithful to us, Lord. You're so faithful. And you're going to keep being faithful. You're going to keep taking care of us. You're going to lead us by your Spirit. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. Thank you for working this word in us. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and honor for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. So what is the problem here? Someone said it doesn't sound for you? How about other people? Are you hearing me okay? There's one said it doesn't sound clear.
The chat room, let me know. Is it sounding clear for most of you, or is it just this one person that it's not sounding clear?
Okay. Well, you can let me know. I'm going to play a song. We're going to do some deliverance here after the music, but somebody can let me know. So it's not really clear tonight. Okay, something's going on. All right, well, let's see what we can do here.
Without your love, I'd rather be with the one I know will always be with me than have the throne of a king. 'Cause it would be nothing more than just a handful of nothing compared to all your love can bring. And I know that someday last.
Okay. Well, hopefully this is better. Hopefully we've got it adjusted here properly now. I'm sorry about that. I wish you told me, let me know as soon as possible if it's not clear, so I can make some corrections on this end. Whatever I could do on this part, we'll do it. Hopefully it's better now. Hopefully you could still understand me, but I'm sorry that it wasn't clear enough. I made some adjustments while the song was playing, and hopefully we got it back good. And I'm sorry that it wasn't as clear as usual. So if that happens again, please let me know. And like I said, I'll make the adjustment to whatever I can do. All right, let's get some devils out of here. We attack the enemy. We rebuke the devil. He's a liar. He's not going to prevail in our lives. We declare that to be the fact of the matter on where we're concerned. Amen? How about that? You believe that? You need to believe that. You need to say, no, you're not going to have your way with circumstances over my life. Yeah, not going to, okay? Yeah, the devil will take circumstances. He's in the circumstances, believe me. He creates them and causes them to come to pass, to bring evil on. Okay, I'm glad that it's better now, but hopefully you understood what I was saying earlier anyway. And because that I was understandable, but I think I figured out what's wrong, and we got that corrected. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do some deliverance. Spirits that came in at funerals. You know, that's one place demons hang around to try to get on people. There's funerals. Also at hospitals, they're hanging around looking for open doors to get in. You know, so we just command spirits that came in at hospitals and funerals to come out right now. Spirits that came in at the hospital and the funeral, you come up out of there. We rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the way out. Spirits that came in at hospitals and funerals. In Jesus' name, they're looking for someone to get in those situations. So we rebuke them, spirits, and command them to go right now. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against those spirits that come in through hospital, being in the hospital. When you go to the hospital, if you do go to the hospital, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, because there's a lot of demons in hospitals. So you cover yourself with the blood when you go in there, have people praying for you, anoint yourself with oil, anoint your room with oil, if you can even do that. Do that. All right? Hallelujah. You go to funerals, you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, go in there. Jesus' name. All right. Got to go. All those spirits that came in through that, spirits that came in through surgery, you come out right now. Spirits that came in when you were anesthetized, you come out right now. We bind you. We break your power. Come out. 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 Come on. All those spirits that came in through a surgery, come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way up out of those bodies right now. C-section. You had a C-section. Hey, spirit that came in when you were cut open, come out. Or some other type of operation, come out. When you were anesthetized, so you're anesthetized. If you don't cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, and hey, when you get under the anesthesia, you know, these spirits can attack. So you've got to be prepared for if you go to surgery, come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, body trauma. If you were cut on in all trauma to the body, if you were cut on physically with a surgery, you come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out of there, up and out now. Move in Jesus' name. You were cut on. You go right now. Any spirits that came out then. I mean, I came in then. You come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Go. Come out. In Jesus' name. Go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Trauma. The trauma that came in. Come out. All the trauma through an accident. If you had an accident, come out. All that trauma. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Trauma. Go, 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 go. Let them go. All the way out. Come on. All that. You go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come on. Through being cut on, through being operated on, come out. Through having something replaced in your body, come out. All the way out. Go. All the way up out of there. Go. Come out. 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 All the trauma of having that done to your body in the first place. Come out. Come out. All the trauma. Come out in Jesus' name. All those spirits of trauma. Come out. Have your body cut on. Have your body attacked, really, in a way. Even though it's, maybe they did you some good and got rid of something, fixed something, but still the body is traumatized when it is cut open and cut on. Come out of there. All the way out. The accident trauma. Come out. The loss of someone you love, the trauma from that, you come out. In Jesus' name, the trauma from the loss of someone you love or a job you loved or people you love, whatever, all that loss, trauma through the loss, you come out. In Jesus' name, come out. All that trauma through the loss, come out, 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 come out. All trauma through loss, in Jesus' name, come out through loss, through financial loss, through physical loss, through mate loss, loss of your mate, loss of a loved one. Come on, all that trauma, come out. The trauma, 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 got to go all the way out. All that trauma through abuse, all that trauma through abuse. You're abused as a child or sexually abused, you come out. All that trauma that come in, all that trauma, come out. We break the curse of the trauma. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Traumatized, yeah. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse. Come out. All the trauma from the abuse. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Sexual abuse. Come out. Come out. Self-abuse. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. I know people who have abused themselves physically in sexual ways that are just so abusive that they traumatized themselves. A spirit of trauma came in through that. See? So, if you've ever been involved in bestiality, you've traumatized yourself through that as well. We break that curse of bestiality. You come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. If you were raped, you were traumatized. All that trauma come out through the rape. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Come 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 out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Family feuds. We command the spirits in the family feud to come out. All those spirits of feuding with one another in the family, come out. All that feuding, family feuds, come out, come out, come out. Feuding among the family, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All the family feud spirits, go, go, go. And the trauma that came in through that, go, 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 all the way out, 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 all that spirit of retaliating. You've ever retaliated and been wounded and retaliated, hurt and retaliation, you come out of there. We break the curse of retaliation. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We don't retaliate. You got to go, but yeah, you get in the flesh, you will retaliate. Because that's normal for the flesh to do, but it's not normal for walking in the spirit to do. So come out of there. All that retaliation, come out. 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 Come out of there. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All that mourning spirit, come out. The mourning. We talked about the mourning spirit. Come out. All that mourning, you come out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, the mourning spirit. You have to go all the way out. All the way out, the mourning spirit, the strife spirit. Come out. Arguing with people, arguing with family members, arguing with your spouse. All that arguing. We bind that arguing spirit, that arguing strife spirit, that marriage breaking spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out. That divorce spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Making fun of spouses or be superior. come out, mocking, come out, in the name of Jesus, go, all the way out, the blood of Jesus, you come against you, you come out of there, we come against you, devils, come out of there, all the way out, the blood of Jesus against you, devils, right now, all that bickering, striving spirit, come out, strife and bickering, come out of there, all the way out, that whining spirit too, you come out, the whining spirit, we rebuke that whining, going around whining all the time about life, whining about this, whining about that, come out of there, all the way out, go, all the way up, out of there, Lucifer, let them go, all those whining spirits, all the way out, that cursing, using profanity, go, all the way out. Oh, by the way, the guy that found the ark was Ron Wyatt. I forgot his first name a while ago, and it was six people that died when they went in there to the ark. But Ron, he wouldn't die when he went in there. He was allowed, God allowed him to go down there and be in that ark, be in the ark and look at it and get that blood. It was six people. I think I told you eight. I was wrong. It was six. My wife corrected me on that, and I appreciate her checking me on that. I got it. It was six. Okay. Keep coming out of there. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go. All the way up out of there. Keep going. In Jesus' name. Keep going. Marriage-breaking spirit. Maybe you had your marriage broke up by devils. And, you know, or they're trying to break it up now. We come against those marriage-breaking spirits right now. In Jesus' name, marriage-breaking spirits, we bind you. I bind you. I break your hold, break the curse over your person's wife of a marriage being broke up. And we command those spirits of marriage-breaking to go. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all that marriage breaking, all that spirit of divorce, you come out, spirit of divorce, you had a divorce, spirit of divorce, you come out, all the way out. Divorces are not easy for people, contrary to what the society may tell you, but divorces are not easy. They're tearing apart of two people who have been joined together. They're tearing apart, and it can be very painful and very horrible. And so the spirit of divorce, you come out in Jesus' name, and we bind you, we break your hold, and thank you, Lord, for deliverance from divorce. In Jesus' name, come out of there, all the way up out of there, go. Go in Jesus' name, and we again come against if you're wanting to be married and not married, we come against the spirit that's trying to keep you single or perpetual singleness, trying to keep you lonely and alone. And if you desire a mate, the Bible said it's not good that man should be alone. So if you desire a mate, then it's better to marry than to burn, the Bible says. So if you are not married and you desire to be married and you have a grounds for marriage, and you come out of there, man. All those spirits, that perpetual singleness, that spirits that blocking marriage, come out, come out of there, all the way out. Yeah, I've known people who never were able to get married for various reasons. A lot of it was demons in most of the cases. And so if there's a spirit in the way, we command those spirits to get out of the way. Get out of the way in Jesus' name. Go. Get out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. You know, one guy that he wanted to be married really bad, but he was just, when he get around women, he was just so shy around them. He just couldn't relate to him properly, and it just always seemed to sabotage the relationship there that he couldn't get married. Hey, and if you're single and you're happy, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Hey, you know, it's good. If you could be single and you could be happy with that, please, I'm not telling anybody you need to get married. If you don't want to get married, that's up to you. That's your business. And I'm glad if you're happy, you know, you can give yourself to the Lord even more, you know, and that's what you should be doing. If you're single, you know, you don't have that trouble in the flesh with the marriage and all that, that you could truly give yourself over to God in ways that married people, you know, sometimes are hindered in doing. Anyway, keep coming out of there, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. All the way up out of there. Keep moving. Keep moving. All the way out. Spirit of embarrassment, you come out. You've been embarrassed. You've been in a situation where you were so embarrassed and it still bothers you. That a spirit came in. So we command the spirit of embarrassment to come out right now. Spirit of embarrassment, come out right now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Spirit of embarrassment. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, loose them, all that embarrassment. We break the curse of embarrassment. Come out, 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 all the way out. That self-accusation, you come out. Feeling accused in your own mind, or feeling something just always accusing you, and you're feeling that self-accusation. We come against that. Self-accusation in the mind, the tormenting spirit of self-accusation. Come out of there, out, 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 out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 all the way out. The blood of Jesus, all that self-accusation, go right now. All that self-accusation, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep going all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Go all the way in Jesus' name. All that self-accusation, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Perfectionism, fear of perfectionists, come out. All that perfectionists, the perfectionists, got, everybody else got to do things right, even though you don't do it always right, but you're a perfectionist. You expect perfectionism. Come out of there. All that perfectionist spirit, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Narcissist, come out. All that narcissist spirit, too, come out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Narcissism, come out. All that narcissist spirit, come out. The blood of Jesus, we break that curse over you. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, go. All the way up out of there, go. In Jesus' name, loose them, and let them go. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let the people go. Keep coming out of there. Come on. All the way up. All the way up and out. Up and out. Up and out. If you picked up an antichrist spirit, being out of the world, the Bible said there are many antichrists. So we command any antichrist spirits to come out of there right now. Antichrist spirits, come out. Come out. We break the curse of antichrist. Maybe you were antichrist for a while about some things, and that spirit came in. Because you didn't want to obey Christ, or you were antichrist. You come out of there. All those antichrist spirits, or you picked one up somewhere, inherited one, you come out of there. All those antichrist spirits, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All antichrist spirits, antichrist beliefs, antichrist doctrines, come out. Come out of there. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Catholicism, go, go, go. All antichrist spirits, go. In the name of Jesus, you have to loose them and let them go all the way out. All the way out, all the way out. Up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus, right now, keep going. All that antichrist spirit, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Come on, loose them, let them go. The blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, go all the way out. Disbelief, come out. Unbelief, come out. All the way out. That unbelief, that's just something in you that's not letting you believe God. And you want to believe God, but there's something that's blocking you. So we rebuke that unbelief spirit that tried to attach itself and hold on to you and keep you from believing and block you from receiving. Come out, all that unbelief, go, 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 all the way out, up and out of there. Move in the name of Jesus right now. Move all that unbelief spirit. Go right now. We come against you. Come against you. Unbelief. Unbelief. All this bit tells you God can't do it for you. God won't do it for you. He's not going to do it for you. He's not going to take care of this situation, that situation. Come on. All that unbelief spirit. Come out. 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 All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All that unbelief. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go. Right now. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've had this evening. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. And thank you for all that you've done in our lives and taking care of us so long and keeping us in your hands, keeping us from the evil one. Thank you that you're going to continue to take care of us all the days of our life, Lord. We ask you to seal this deliverance that we received today. Thank you for it. Thank you for continuing to deliver us and change us and mold us and make us into your image and your likeness to be like you, Jesus. And thank you for your breakthroughs in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, we give you the glory. And thank you for every listener tonight. I ask your blessing on each one of them and minister to them, encourage them, strengthen them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, folks, it's been good to be with you tonight. Thank you for being here and being part of this gathering here live tonight. And Lord be with you. Appreciate you.
I've been too tired to talk, looking at the walk. You led me on and you showed me when. You took me through the years, there's so many souvenirs. Now I'm letting them go again. When I hear you say to walk with me, while it is today, just walk with me. And I am persuaded it isn't crazy. 7 times harder the test gets. And yeah, the whole world could shatter and it wouldn't matter. We'd walk on
Yeah. Yeah.
Walk on the water. Step out. Know that Jesus is going to be there. Amen. Yeah, well, hope you're staying warm tonight. We're below zero here, and it's cold. So maybe you heard the furnace running, but, you know, I'm sorry. It's got to keep it warm. But hopefully not. Hopefully it wasn't too loud for you. Anyway, hope you all staying warm, and the Lord is keeping you warm in your heart, too. Amen. In your spirit, if you're full of Him, and He's doing good things in your life. I believe that. I'm expecting that. So, Lord bless you, and thank you for listening. Thank you for joining with us all here. And we'll see you back next Friday night. Hope you enjoyed the newsletter. And God bless you, and we'll say goodbye now.